Nārau, rangatira mā, nau mai ki te pai o Te Wānui. Tēnā koutou katoa, ko Jamie Tahana ahau. Coming up on Te Wānui today, Arotearoa Iwi steps in to build affordable homes for whānau. The fruits of tamariki learning in Te Reo Māori is brought to the fore. Should the Crown buy an island in Matauri Bay? One kaumātua thinks so. And a call to get things moving at Ihu Mātau. But first, clashes this week between protesters and security guards at a controversial marina development on Waiheke Island have triggered police investigations. Protect Pūtiki has been occupying the site for 120 days, which they say endangers a nearby Korora colony. The developer rejects the claims. Te Aorewa Rolleston was there.
It was this incident that appears to have caught police's attention. In this video, security officers can be seen in scuffles with protesters. One protester is pushed into the water and kicked in the face. Lev and Gal were two of the protesters who were injured in the incident yesterday. Speaking to me today, Gal said he was lucky.
He pushed me into the water and then as I was in the water, kicked me in the face. If there wasn't a boy behind me, I would have probably smashed into the rocks and I don't know what would have happened after that. I wasn't wearing a life jacket.
What kind of injuries did you guys sustain?
Oh, my neck really hurts. It might have been because of the kick, and it might have been because of when he choked me after that for like 3-4 minutes.
Police presence on site has decreased since yesterday's events. But today a police vessel came to shore to drop officers off who have continued to monitor the area surrounding the marina throughout the day. Police say investigations have begun into all allegations of criminal offending at the marina development on Waiheke Island. Inspector Gary Davey of Auckland Central Police says officers are monitoring the ongoing dispute. He says the police are speaking to both parties with a view to resolving the standoff. One protester, Mako, at the site says it's been a difficult couple of days.
No, it's dangerous. Like, these dudes do not need to go to this level with these people. When you boot someone in the head, that's not reasonable force. When you use a hook and a paddle as a weapon on people, that's not reasonable force. When you use a hook to drag a person through the water, you know, with them screaming.
A small crowd of onlookers and supporters have lined the fence, preventing anyone wandering onto the rocks near the protesters' makeshift campsite. Throughout the day, members of the public have met protesters to deliver gear, warm clothes, tents, blankets and supplies. One of the protesters, Emily Meyer Weiss, says they are not backing down.
We're safe out there, we're safe in the ocean, and we're safe as long as hands aren't laid on us, as long as excessive force and violence isn't used to clear us out. We need Auckland Council and the ministers to intervene now, because this is becoming, the violence is increasing upon us, and we need our government to call this out.
The director of the development group, Kennedy Point Boat Harbour Limited, Kit Littlejohn, says an internal review was underway to address the issues involved in the clashes. And in a separate bid to stop the construction this morning, Ngāti Pāua Trust Board has taken the developer to the Environment Court, claiming they breached their resource consent conditions by removing rocks from a wall.
The Kennedy Point developer says the video showing a security guard kicking a protester in the face isn't an accurate representation of the confrontation. Marina Director Kit Littlejohn says there's been significant offending aimed at security guards. However, he says the company does not condone the unprovoked or unreasonable use of force by anyone, and an internal investigation of the actions of security staff has begun. Ngāti Pāua has negotiated a stop work at the site until Monday. Rotorua Iwi Ngāti Whakaue is launching an affordable home scheme for whānau on a subdivision it's developing. 8 houses will be offered in the first stage of the development in Ōwhata, with dozens more opened up in future stages. Ngāti Whakaue Tribal Lands General Manager Ray Morrison says they'll be priced at $500,000, $100,000 lower than the city's median price. Mr. Morrison says it's just the first step that Iwi's taking to help whānau into homes.
On stage 2, there'd be well, there'd be at least a dozen, I'd imagine. But stage three, we're looking at probably 20, 22 or 23. The numbers aren't confirmed yet because we haven't confirmed the design, right, the layout and all of that. So it's going to be within those in those percentages I gave you, which is around that sort of 15% of each stage.
There is a bit of an acute housing crisis in Rotorua, and you just have to walk through town, really. And what role does Ngāti Whakaae have in this?
Well, there's a shortage of housing across the whole spectrum, right? So this is the first step, and it's the block we're developing is actually general land. It's a block we purchased back in the 70s for development. And then we've got our wider block, which encompasses sort of 3,000 hectares, which is Māori whenua land. So obviously can't be sold. But we'd look at what ultimately we want to go and open up some of that stuff to do. We'll look at all sorts of things. There's obviously long-term rental, public social housing type developments. There's public kāinga, there's retirement villages, all those things that we could do long-term rental agreements or long-term leases. There's a whole lot of options, but we've got to generate cash flow first in order to do all that. So this is our staged process.
Why is it important for you to segment this affordable housing section?
Yeah, so I mean, you know, there's our 6,500 odd owners and beneficiaries have told us their number one priority. You know, through past surveys we've done is housing is number one. And you're dead right. Rotorua has a pretty acute housing shortage. I think there's somewhere around 2,000 dwellings across the board shortage right now. And so, you know, that's for the wider community, but even for our people who are fit in all of those categories, long-term renters, first-time buyers, established homeowners. We've just got to look at what we can do in terms of opening up supply for housing across the board.
That's Ngāti Whakaae's Ray Morrison. A new report is highlighting the fruits of educating tamariki in te reo Māori. The Education Review Office has released a report highlighting why tamariki Māori excel when they're immersed in their culture. Mediana Johnson reports.
Te reo te Māori o te mana Māori. The language is the life force of Māori culture. The setting up of kohanga reo in the 80s, followed by kura kaupapa, have been key to revitalising te reo Māori. And today, leaders of the movement gathered at Parliament to celebrate the success of the Māori immersion education model. Cathy Jews is a founding member.
In the 1980s, the threat of extinction and total obliteration was keenly felt. Deep in the core of the Māori heart and the Māori soul, we now have hope. We now believe that graduates from Kura Aho Matua will ensure that Māori language, Māori culture, and so too the people will endure forevermore.
The report found that kohanga reo, kura kaupapa Māori and ngā kura a iwi are exemplars of how to achieve Māori education success. It says the Māori worldview is core to the success of this model. Renata Curtis is co-principal of Te Wharekura o Ngāti Rongomai, a Māori medium secondary school. She set up with her husband, Tuki Te Rangi Curtis, in Rotorua. She says the report sends a powerful message.
It signals to our own people, because most of our own people are still in the mainstream schools. It signals to our own people, you know, hey, come on, wake up. This is where we need to have our tamariki.
Tuki Te Rangi Curtis says there are still barriers to training Māori teachers.
Māori are always great at doing Māori things on their own. It's proven. Just let us teach our own people. Give us the money and we know how to do that.
The review suggests grants or low-interest loans to attract teachers and increasing the Māori immersion teaching allowance. It's a special day for the Education Review Officers, Linda Pura-Watson from Kahununu o Wairarapa. She was in charge of pulling together this report, but it's also personal, with her finding solace in the Māori education space after losing her tāne.
I've been nurtured as an adult and learnt so much in this kaupapa. how to live again.
The report also points out that while Māori medium education has maintained nurturing learning environments for Māori, they are under-resourced, with many awaiting infrastructure funding. Associate Minister of Education Māori, Calvin Davis, says they've put $500 million into Māori education in the last 2 years, a large portion of it for kohanga and kura infrastructure. He says they're trying to grow the number of Māori children attending Māori medium education from 5% to 30% in the next 2 decades.
E ariari mai ana na taringa ki te wao nui. You're listening to Te Wao Nui, a wrap of the week's Māori news here on RNZ National, called Jamie Tahana, TNA. An Auckland Komatua wants the Crown to buy an island in Matauri Bay. The only privately owned island in the Kivali Group, Motukawaiti, is for sale for $22 million. The island, known as the Fire, or Mother of the Islands, has deep cultural significance to Māori, and former MP and Ngāti Kura Komatua, Dover Samuels, has been advocating for it to be returned to Hapū. He told Marnie Dunlop the $150 million Ngāpuhi Investment Fund, Tupu Tonu, announced earlier this year, is a clear option to get it back.
I believe the Crown should purchase it and land bank it. I think that gives us some confidence that it can't be sold again. At least we know that it belongs to New Zealand. And I think the tribunal and the negotiating process will eventually recognise the deep relationship that these hapū have with Motukawaiti. Look, I used to sleep there. My grandfather, we used to go there and net for kōheru and arara, bait fish for our people. And we used to sleep there overnight in the flats, on the beach, light the fire. It's predominantly a mutton bird, a oi or titi island like the rest of the Kivalis. All our people used to go out there two or three times a year, collect the mutton birds, go fishing. It was part of our community. And my claim made it very, very clear that, in fact, there is no lines of disembarkation in terms of a high water mark of the Queen's Chain. From the whenua of the mainland to the islands was intrinsically connected in terms of our cultural values and our tikanga. And we've lost our whenua. We've lost our mana whenua, and we've lost our mana moana, and our people have lost the right to go out fishing, catch fish that their tupunas used to do as a matter of right.
In terms of that Tupu Tonu Fund, the Ngāpuhi Investment Fund, if they were, if it was to purchase this island, I mean, I guess the aim of that investment fund is to make a return. Do you think it would be the right commercial move, in a sense, as an investment to purchase this island?
Well, I think it has a commercial premium to it. It has... that's why the Chinese have bought it, and that's why they put a complex on it. That's why they put a swimming pool. That's why they spent a lot of money putting a big jetty on it. But unfortunately, they didn't talk to the tongue of the whenua first. And look what's happened. I mean, the only way they could get access, and this I want to highlight that for any prospective purchaser, they've got to come over our whenua. They've got to come over our land. It's the most practical access to the islands.
That's Dover Samuels. In a statement, Tupu Tonu Chair Brian Roach said they considered purchasing it in March, but the asking price was above the maximum they would pay for a single asset, and significant maintenance is needed. They were happy to reconsider it for a price that reflected the risks and a credible business plan. It's time to get things moving. That's a message from the minister in charge of bringing together a steering group to decide the future of Ihu Matau. They'll consider whether to include housing on the whenua, which some mana whenua are opposed to, although the government is adamant whare will be built. Mediana Johnson reports.
It's been over 6 months since the deadlock on the disputed land at Ihu Mātou was broken, with the government purchasing it for just under $30 million. As part of He Pū Moutanga, the agreement, a Ropu Whakahaere will be set up, but first the Kingitanga must go through a process of determining who is ahuka, or those who look after the land. ACT Party member Brooke Van Velden asked Māori Housing Minister Pieni Henare for an update.
When can we expect the steering committee, consisting of 6 representatives representing or supporting the Crown and Kingitanga, to be formed?
Mr. Speaker, I have it on the good authority of my colleague to the right, to my right here, that we will be looking to push this kaupapa along, and my expectation is that in the very near future we will have an announcement.
Ms. Van Velden says things aren't progressing quickly enough.
He couldn't provide a timeline for when the steering group would be formed, and just said that it was in the near future. I think we should expect more from this government, especially when they set aside $30 million of taxpayer money for the land to be used for housing, and we haven't seen a single timeline.
Minister of Māori Development, Willie Jackson, is keen to get things moving, and he wants all parties to come together in the next 3 months.
We walk a fine line here. We have to pay respect to people's own rangatiratanga, and their own mana, and then we have to say, come on, it might be time for us to get this together, and that's what we'll be doing.
The government has come under fire for purchasing the land from a fund specifically for housing. He Pū Moutanga says the whenua may include housing for mana whenua whānau, papakainga, or some community housing. So while the agreement doesn't provide a commitment to housing, the government insists homes will be built, as Pieni Henare reasserted again today.
It is important to note that parties have committed that there will be housing on the site, and we are continuing to work through this process.
Save Our Unique Landscape, led by whānau from the local marae, have opposed the building of any houses on the land because of its historical, cultural and archaeological significance. It's now up to the Kingitanga to choose people for the steering group and get them singing from the same song sheet on housing. The government will be hoping it's a universal yes to avoid more heat from opposition parties.
A Lower North Island museum is labelling it scandalous. They have not had a Māori curator. The Whanganui Regional Museum says the need for a dedicated curator has become more pressing as the museum deals with increasing custodianship demands, including more requests and interactions with tangata whenua and others about taonga and repatriation. Matariki Williams is the former curator Mātauranga Māori at Te Papa Tongarewa and is the new Pauhitori Māori Mātua Senior Māori Historian at the Ministry for Culture and Heritage. She spoke to Marnie Dunlop.
I just wanted to get into what the state of museums and trying to get kaitiaki Māori into museums is like. Often these roles are they're short-term contracts or they're not fully permanent roles, and what that means is that the solidified kind of structure of a career for kaitiaki Māori isn't necessarily there in our museum sector. And this, of course, has lead-on effects into how museums, which are still often seen as colonial institutions in Māori communities, how they can interact with tangata whenua, mana whenua, iwi, and different ohe throughout the country. So I'm really grateful to see this move by Whanganui Museum. It's part of hopefully an ongoing decolonial move throughout the motu.
And we know why it is important to have these Māori curators at these whare taonga around the motu. So what are the risks of not having skilled Māori in these sorts of positions as kaitiaki for these taonga?
Look, there's a movement internationally which talks about how museums themselves are not neutral and histories themselves are not neutral. So the risk here is that our histories will always be told by a particular perspective. And when it comes to taonga Māori and kōrero Māori and Māori histories, what that means is that they're not told from Māori perspectives. But I think it's also a case of going further than that. I'd love to see a critical mass of Māori in museums that aren't having to just decolonise museums, but actually imagine what they can be instead of undoing what they have been up till this point, but actually having the space to think aspirationally about what museums and whare taonga can be for us and our people.
And how can we make that happen?
Honestly, more of us. More of us in more permanent roles, given the space to not have to be the sole Māori and having to be the sole person having to represent us in any kind of hui, where, you know, that isn't necessarily our role. I think kaimahi Māori throughout the country and kaitiaki Māori are often drawn on to backfill lack of capacity and lack of resourcing in other areas, you know, providing a mātauranga Māori lens on graphics or design, which isn't necessarily their area of expertise or interest, and that can put kaimahi Māori in a really compromising position. But we do it for the love of our people and for the love of our taonga and for the love of our histories and kōrero. So for me, the biggest solution is to employ more Māori across the board. I want to acknowledge that there are kaimahi Māori in a whole range of positions in museums, not just curators, and that too is really important, so that we are interpreting and educating from our perspectives I ngā wāhi katoa.
That's Matariki Williams. And that's Te Wao Nui for this week. Kei tō mātou whārangi ipurangi tō mātou pūrongo hei Kimi Mau. Kei raro I te tāpanga te ao Māori. You can find all our stories on our website, rnz.co.nz, under the Te Ao Māori section, or chuck us a like on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Noho ora mai, tēnā koutou katoa.